in the meditations of all our hearts, be acceptable to you. Amen. Last week, we saw the children bring presents and place them in front of the manger. Today, I'm preaching about a different kind of presence. That is, being, existing, or occurring right now in the presence of God. So how does one intentionally live in the presence of God? We have heard at one time or another that God is omnipresent, which simply means that God is everywhere. If God is everywhere, it certainly follows that we are always in the presence of God. But notice, I said we need to intentionally live in the presence of God. Have you ever seen someone who wants to be noticed? It may be a child who craves attention, from a parent who's trying to do something else. Perhaps the parent's trying to hold a conversation on a phone. The little child tugs on the parent's pant leg. The child dances around repeating the parent's name, "Mama, mama, mama." The child might even say, "Hey, look at me." The child might even start to cry in order to be picked up. Now, while a parent may not always pay attention to a child, God promises to always pay attention to us. God tells us that God numbers the hairs on our heads and knows when a sparrow falls. The God who pays attention to the sparrow pays attention to us. But how do we know? Because God promised. Furthermore, God asks us to pray for things as simple as our daily bread. God wants us to be ever mindful of God's presence, even if we cannot see God or sense God. This brings us back to our scripture lesson, the verse, "Pray without ceasing." It's to me one of the most important verses in the Bible. Paul is telling us how to be intentional about the presence of God. Prayer is indeed practicing the presence of God. Looking at the Greek enriches the meaning of this verse, which is only two Greek words. Adialeptos prosukithese. I murdered the pronunciation, I'm sure, but that's the two long words. The first word is the adverb, which is usually translated unceasingly. And when broken down, can be translated to mean without any time in between. The second word is a very common word for prayer, but it's in a very interesting verb form. The part of speech, verb, it's present tense. The mood is imperative. That is a command. And the voice is what's called middle or passive. Now, we don't have a middle form in English, but in Greek they do. And what it means is that both the object and the subject are acting on each other. And I think that's particularly interesting in thinking about practicing prayer. It's also its second person, which is you, plural, which down here is y'all. This is easier than it sounds. In our common language, this verse says, "Y'all be praying now and don't stop." The y'all is second person plural, In other words, not just one of you, but all of you. The be praying makes the verb passive and or middle. Our passive is when the subject receives the action and is usually accomplished with the form of the verb to be. The Greek middle is not really paralleled in English, but it does a very important thing. It recognizes when the action affects both the subject and the object. This is so important in this verse. Notice the verse does not say, y'all pray to God. In that case, the action of the prayer would all be received by God. In this case, the prayer affects both the person who prays and the object of the prayer. Put more simply, this unceasing prayer is a relationship. Notice two more things. This is imperative, that means a command, and this relationship is not optional. This relationship, like any relationship, works best with constant communication. And this command, as I said, is in present tense. Y'all be praying now. This does not mean we walk around on our knees. Therefore, we have to understand prayer as more than now I lay me down to sleep, or God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. Don't get me wrong, memorized prayers are great. They teach us to pray and they serve us well. But praying without ceasing is much, much more. There is an appropriate prayer for every moment of our lives. This reminds me of the play, Fiddler on the Roof. A man asked a rabbi, is there a proper blessing for the czar? The rabbi says, yes, there is. May God bless and keep the czar far away from us. Now, while this is a lighthearted example, there's certainly a way we can practice the presence of God in every situation without ceasing. There are many types of prayers, and there are as many types of prayers as there are situations. We're certainly aware of the most common types of prayer, such as prayers of petition when we ask God for things. In fact, perhaps the biggest misunderstanding about prayer is that it's only about asking God for what we want. God, if prayer were just about us asking for what we want, then God would just become another Santa Claus. Furthermore, God knows better than we do what we need. As the poet Garth Brooks puts it, just the other night at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my old high school flame. And as I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was the one I'd wanted for all times. And each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if He'd only grant this wish I wished back then, I'd never ask for anything again. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he doesn't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. She wasn't quite the angel that I remembered in my dreams, and I could tell that time had changed me in her eyes too, it seemed. We tried to talk about the old days. There wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what He's doing after all. And as she walked away and I looked at my wife, then and there I thanked the good Lord for the gifts in my life. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Garth Brooks makes a profound point in these words. Just because we don't get what we want doesn't mean God doesn't hear or that God doesn't care. In fact, we should say prayers of thanksgiving even when we do not understand why we are not getting what we want or think we need. Realizing that God is present does not only mean petition, it also means thanks and many other types of prayer. The Christian religion is unlike any other religion in that it's a relationship. Prayer is how we develop and maintain our relationship with God. Without prayer, there is no relationship with God, just as surely as without communication, there's no relationship between humans. Paul's admonition to pray without ceasing is an admonition to be in relationship with God without ceasing. I'm sure I've said this many times before, but my favorite definition of prayer is practicing the presence of God. When we pray without ceasing, that is what we're doing. Obviously, we cannot walk around with our hands folded and eyes closed. One commentary states it this way: the way that Christians rejoice and the way that Christians give thanks is by praying. Put the other way around, constant rejoicing and regular thanksgiving are themselves perpetual prayer. But I suggest to you that prayer is more than petition, thanksgiving, and rejoicing. Prayer is being aware of God's presence in every situation and allowing that awareness to change us. In Ken Follett's book, Fall of Giants, Billy Williams goes into the coal mine on his 16th birthday for his first day of work. As a practical joke, the supervisor puts Billy by himself at the end of a tunnel and gives him a lamp that's short of oil. Before long, Billy's lamp runs out of oil and he is left in pitch black darkness. After being filled with panic, he settles down and looks down the tunnel where he sees a vision of Jesus. Billy goes back to work in the pitch black, calmed by the assurance that Jesus is present with him. The reality of the image is not important. The reality of Billy's faith in God as always present brought him calm. Likewise, the presence of God should affect everything we do. How can we see the face of Jesus in our dark tunnels? How can we see the face of Jesus on the poor, the hungry, the naked, the lonely, the imprisoned, the stranger? One very practical way is to trust that God's first language is silence. By trusting that God is in the silence, we begin to see God where there is no silence. Thomas Merton, the well-known Christian contemplative, is often credited with the reawakening of Christian contemplative prayer. He had a moment of profound illumination, sometimes called an epiphany, on a street corner in Louisville, Kentucky. Interestingly, not far from where the PCUSA headquarters is today. There's an actual plaque on that street corner commemorating the event. Merton writes this about it. Quote, "Yesterday in Louisville at the corner of 4th and Walnut, I suddenly realized that I loved all the people and that none of them were or could be totally alien to me. As if waking from a dream, the dream of separateness, of the special vocation to be different. My vocation does not really make me different from the rest of humanity or put me in a special category except artificially. I am still a member of the human race. And what more glorious destiny is there for humanity since the Word made flesh and became too a member of the human race? Thank God, I am only another member of the human race like all the rest of them. I have the immense joy of being a human, as if the sorrows of our condition could really matter. Once we began to realize who and what we are, as if we could ever begin to realize it on earth. End quote. Merton had been a hermit who thought he could be a Christian by experiencing God in solitude alone. One method of prayer, one way to express the presence of God. But Merton's epiphany is an example of his self-awareness that God calls us not to be merely spiritual, but in relationship with God. And as shown in the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ, in relationship with the world. As we look forward to the coming of the Christ child this Advent, may we each see the gift of Jesus as an invitation to prayer, an invitation to relationship, an invitation to practice the presence of God, an invitation to pray without ceasing. Therefore, y'all be praying now and don't stop. Amen. Having heard the Word of God read, sung, and proclaimed,